You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Podcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 174. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I'm Rogue Schindler. I'll read my name on here to make sure I get it right.
Yes, well, the chat room is providing the links to the show faster than we can, and we're the ones posting it, so what does that tell you about our confidence?
Yeah.
Anyway, this is episode number 174. This weekend we had a local event that I was not able to go to because I was under the weather. Apparently Johnny won with a Ferengi deck. Now, I need to hear about this. Did you get to play him?
Unfortunately, I'm a little bummed out because I did not have a deck that was worthy of standing up to him, and I looked back over the results and discovered that one of the results was entered incorrectly, crediting me with a win that I did not earn, which meant that I got to play him in the last round, even though I had should have been played paired down. It literally, after the first, we played four rounds, and I had been outplayed 30 counters. He had spent 30 more counters than I had.
Was it like Parlinor? And
yeah, it was just, there's that new interrupt that lets you download a bunch of cards and then put them under.
There's an interrupt that lets you pitch a card from hand, you move a card from under your Ferenginar to the top of your deck, and you put a card under Ferenginar, is that right?
Yeah, something like that. There's an interrupt, and then there's the old one, the Cisco one, where he's all menacing or something. You download three
yes
personnel, and then, you know, so he did that first turn and got three Parlinors and put two under, and then download the rule. You know, he had three Quarks and three Quarks advice, and, you know, go get that, and then it was three turns of, you know, 27 counters.
Wow.
You know, 9 plus 7, and then, you know, that the Ferengi bicycle isn't draw two cards, it's spend two counters. So
that's right.
It was just, and I, on the other hand, was playing Vulcans, my first stab at them, and they are expensive, and I had a very bad draw, so I had all expensive guys. So after four turns, he had two crews attempting, and I had four people out.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was pretty disheartening. And even he, I mean, you know, I had, as the day went on, we all had been hearing, you know, the discussions of the Ferengi in the background, and even he was the first to admit, you know, that those cards are just crazy broken, and, you know, it's like a circus watching it go, and, you know, I managed to last a half an hour, and that was only because I got ridiculously good dilemma draws and random selections. You know, I managed to secret ID Dr. Rega away pretty early and kill some people with my 40 cost, you know, the 40 point dilemmas, yeah. Which are pretty good. But even then, I just could not stand up. You know, I literally got one mission attempt off because he was so fast.
I was talking to Nate in the chat room today, and he said that Johnny attempted three missions, and it was unable to stop him at all. Just walked right through between Rega and Rom, and that, you know, never heard to suck up to the boss, it sounds like.
Yep.
It was a monster. Well, that's definitely something new. I mean, I can't remember the last time Ferengi did that well in an event. Can you? I mean, we're talking second edition here.
They've been pretty decent in the right hands, but it feels like, I don't know, I feel like that deck is really, really good. It's kind of like Borg. You really have to know how to do it, and how to pilot it. And if you don't, you know, in the hands of the everyday player, it's not as good. And I have mixed feelings about that in general. You know, I don't want everybody to be able to play a really stupid good deck, but on the other hand, at least if it's that complicated and it's only good for certain people, it's not everybody is playing it. Now it's just like, well, okay, we need to make this good for everybody, so let's make it easier and easier to do this crazy stupid deck to work, and now it's just like, okay, I'm completely left in the dust, and there's nothing I can do. And granted, I got the worst possible draw, or one of the worst possible draws I could get, and Johnny was like, I got everything I needed right away, so it was like, you know, insult injury, but it was pretty brutal. I definitely did not want to continue. I knew I had lost anyway, so I just kept throwing dilemmas at him. But, you know, I was really a lot to the point of, okay, I'm not going to play any dilemmas you can solve.
Wow.
And it was kind of funny, the point at which I almost did that, because he, I guess, did not actually have the extra skill he needed to get the 5 points to have, because you have two geology or two acquisition, and yeah, that would have put him at 95. Whatever. It was not like I was in any danger of catching up with him.
How did your other games go?
It's
not well
hit or miss.
If you were paired up with him by accident, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I got first round against TV, and he was, I think he took second, so he was playing Thieves. That was actually a really close game. I felt like I was a turn away from solving my second mission. I was going a 2-mission win. The deck I based off of Charlie, not Midnight Lich, but username Charlie. Charlie Barheit, I think his name is.
Yeah.
He has a pretty solid IDIC deck that I adapted slightly. I threw in an extra headquarters so that I could use Solok and the Tucumbra, but it was otherwise TOS based because they have the most affiliated Vulcans. But it was using that and Enterprise B and or Enterprise A and or Talera to get bonus points with two mission win, hopefully. My first two games, I scored 50 points. It was pretty consistent. I won one and I lost one with 50 points. I felt like I was a turnover, unless Thomas was going to pull out some more dilemma shenanigans, which this did not look like the type of deck he was doing that with. I felt like I was had a pretty good shot at solving my next turn, and he managed to get his second mission to go ahead of me. I think it was 70-50. So that was a good close game. I feel like I had a pretty good shot at, was doing a pretty good job of keeping him close. It helped that I was using one man to summon the future to rig my deck, and that was not helping him with his using the Gatherer's Raid and the Pickpocket to make all his thieves
sure
beefy. And then I, like, the last turn I had I could blow up one or the other. He was throwing crystalline entities at me, and I could blow up either his Gatherer's Raid or his Pickpocket, and I had seen one of each already, and I'm like, okay, which one does he have a third one, not have a third one of? And I picked the wrong one. I blew up one, and that was the one that he had another one in his hand of. So, and that's what helped him solve his last mission. So, it was a good close game. I timed out against JD as well. He put up a really good fight. His Romulans keep getting better and better. Nate.
Nate was playing Dominion.
Yeah, Nate was playing. I was excited because he started off with Krom, the guy that downloads other species if you have all strength missions. And I thought he was going to be running that the Audacious Assault deck, which is one that I've been wanting to play and wanting to see somebody try for a while. And it turns out he was just cheating you know, he was doing the acquisition commodities deck. All of his missions were cunning or strength. They all had a strength requirement, and he was using that on download, but he didn't solve any of them with cunning. Or with strength, rather. Yeah, it was all acquisition, cunning-based stuff. I couldn't really keep up. It was kind of funny because with Matter of Time coming out, I had went in with the approach of, sure, I should go ahead and throw in the extra headquarters because this is going to be... A lot of people are going to be stopped playing multi-headquarters soon, or they're going to get punished for it. So maybe lots of people are going to play multi-headquarters this weekend. So I did, and then I put in a bunch of anti-multi-headquarters dilemmas.
Sure.
Including the one that got the most use, which I may just leave in, because I forgot how good it is. I haven't used it in a while, is Unbelievable Emergency.
Yeah.
Which smacked people up with acquisition twice that day.
That's been a while since I went to play. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Does that have a skill on it, or is it...
It doesn't have a bolded skill on it. Which I was like, dang it, that's going to make it susceptible to like things. And then as it turned out to be useful because I got rid of the guy with secret ID that could get rid of those dilemmas. And then it didn't have a bolded skill on it. So the guy that was going to counter it, like change the skill, it wasn't, you know, or no, it wasn't, I don't know, something about having a skill on it. That it was going to be affected, and it turned out to be good that it didn't require that as a skill. I think it was one of the acquisitions guys are like, that's what it was. If you are facing a dilemma, it's like the new Zek. If you're facing a dilemma that requires acquisition or honor, your guys can't be randomly selected. But it didn't require that in bold. It was a skill that I named, so he couldn't exclude those guys. And I almost picked something else because he didn't have as many acquisitions people as I thought. But then I saw that the guy that lets him make people lose their skills can't make them lose acquisition.
Right.
So that was nice. That was a nice speed bump. But it just turned out I couldn't keep up. It was too slow. I seem to say this a lot, but that's because it seems to keep happening. I managed to get luck of my draw is inversely proportional every time to the ratings level of the player I am playing against. Like, if I'm playing somebody I have a reasonably decent chance, you know, 50-50 shot of beating, then I will get a really, really good draw. And if I'm playing somebody who's going to already have a really good chance of destroying me, I'll get absolute crap. Which, you know, you just have to kind of, yeah, I know. I just kind of have to roll my eyes and go with it because it's like, oh, you know, it's cry otherwise because I've got a good advantage on me. But, you know, it was a fun deck. I liked building it and I enjoyed playing it. There were certainly some holes in it that Vulcans don't have any transporters. They have one. They have a particularly there's two versions of Sakona, and one has a skill, one has transporters and the other one doesn't, and the other one that doesn't has something else they don't have any of or a lot of. So I was like but I did notice that Teles and T'Pau together have all of the skills for the first set of requirements for Vulcan, and that's the one it's 40 points, but it's only 35 cunning because there are so many skill requirements. It's like five or six skills, but they have them all.
Okay.
And when and on top of that, I get to have T'Pau gain Telesa's skills because she's dissident, what it is. So that was kind of cool. But, you know, it's a fun deck. Certainly could use some support. But I got to try I had a lot of anti-kill stuff because I knew I was going to go to planet first so I could get the archaeology mission because I wanted to get the Katrik Arc for my space mission, which was crazy when I got that with the Enterprise J.
Nice.
Yeah. So, you know, it was entertaining, but really high cost. I didn't use any reducers. I should have gone with an Energize. I went without it because I was trying to keep my deck pretty slim. It's a pretty slim deck for me, like 55 cards. And, you know, they're really limited on the personnel. I didn't want to lose somebody to an Energize flip.
Right.
But I think I should have taken the chance because they're pretty, really expensive to keep going and keep out.
So you would go to deliver Ancient Artifact, get the Kishara, and then go to your space mission?
Yeah, no, it's the Katrik Arc.
Katrik?
Kishara is the one that works with Dissidents.
Right.
Katrik Arc is you can discard a Vulcan from hand to make all your Vulcans cunning plus one to the end of the turn.
Oh, okay. So your Vulcan deck was not also an IDIC deck, because that would be difficult.
Yes, no, that would be like 15 personnel, 12 personnel, something. Because there are all other Vulcans, but it's hard to get them all out. And for some reason, when I wrote the achievement, I was an idiot and did not let you include Spock, so you can't even choose a, you know, because he's a Vulcan human.
And you can't use his brother. Level.
No, Cybok is full Vulcan. He's just crazy.
Oh, well, all right.
His mother was a Vulcan princess. Died in childbirth. Oh, you're laughing at the just crazy comment?
No, either it's been too long since I've seen the movie, or it's just long enough. One of the two.
No, that was good. Cybok was cool because you could use Trip to Romulus to get the A out, and A was, you know, get the bonus points rolling. But, yeah, it was fun. I would play it again, maybe make a few tweaks, but, you know, a lot of ETUs, a lot of, I threw some escapes in.
Wow.
That was a long time since I used that, but, you know, you really don't want your people to die because they're so expensive.
Yeah.
And they're very few.
And you're using TOS, and the TOS doctors don't do things to save people like the next-gen doctors do, the DS9 doctors, right?
Well, sure, but it's TOS. You know, it's Vulcan deck, so I don't have any Vulcan doctors, or I don't have any TOS doctors because they're not Vulcan.
Right, of course. All right, well, congrats to Johnny for, looks like he ran the table, went 4-0 with his crazy Ferengi deck. I'm sure we'll be hearing about that. That sounds fun on the boards. And Nate won triples, it looks like.
He did. He took my Thomas went out like two or three rounds in a row. Like three rounds in a row with steadily increasing orders of magnitude.
Usually when Thomas goes out, the tournament's
over. No, we were all very confused because he was playing a very low increment deck. It was a lot more akin to the deck Matt's been running for a while. A lot of multiple discarding or multiple card playing and trying to go out quickly. He went out with like 2,000 the first round and then 10,000 the next round and then 100,000 the third round. So he was still not in the lead. After three rounds because of assorted poisons and tallies. And then Nate went out with like 500,000 or 600,000in the fourth round using my rescue deck.
Okay.
I went probably three rounds before seeing a poison card using my poison deck. I don't know if I had sorted it and not shuffled or something, but I was like, where are all my cards? And then I spent at least an entire round with only 10,000s in my hand. That was entertaining. Like, this deck has seriously not been shuffled. So at least one of my decks did well that day.
Who took off early? Because there was only six people with the dribbles.
JD had an early duty the next morning, so he had to take off and and get some sleep so he could be at work the next day.
Yes. All right. Well, congrats to Nate. That's not, he mentioned that was the first time he's won at Tribbles tournament, so congrats to him. I'm sorry, I wasn't there to provide any prizes since you won.
Honor.
Yeah, that's what it was.
All right. I told him I'd send him the. I gotta link him the deck list so he can at least get an achievement out of it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, why not? Right? You get the both the play and the win, and probably is there a win Tribbles tournament thingy?
Yeah.
All right. In the other realm of second edition, I just played my third of four rounds in the sealed deck event, and you know what? If I had to choose one format to play online, it would be second edition sealed, because the games go really fast. It's usually an hour or less. I didn't have to pore over all the cards to make my deck. It was pretty much, okay, I can use this, and I can use this, and I can use this, and I can't use that, and that. And okay, here we go, we're done. I've been having a good time. I'm 2-1. The game against Chris Sonsby was pretty close. I think he's 3-0 now, and I'm 2-1, so... it's been a good time. I'd recommend anyone doing that. The Lackey has this feature, so when you get your card pool, you can just open up just your card pool instead of all the cards, and you can just drag the cards that you want up to the top, and it makes it really easy to build a sealed event. Actually, I think what was recommended to me was you just take all the cards and you just add them all to your deck, and then you take out the ones you can't
take
use.
Things out you can't use.
Because this is easier. Yeah. That was an excellent event. I would definitely either run it or play it again next month. Because an hour a week is easy. I'm starting up the second round of the first edition treaty tournament. I finally have my deck put together we still have a couple of weeks to go before we're out of time. But I've got three rounds to play against Ben Hosp and two other folks whose name I can't remember. Anyway, is it Dan? I don't remember. Anyway, that was a lot of work putting that deck together, and first edition just takes so long to play, to set up, and go through everything.
Yeah.
Second edition, you just throw your piles, you shuffle, and you go, you know. It's kind of hard to argue with that. Have you been? Yeah, that's right. Ben, Will Hoskin, and Daniel, and me. So apparently, Daniel's played everyone already. So except me, so he knows what he's playing. And I went through the list because the treaties were all assigned based on the worst treaties in all four rounds. So,
Did you get new treaties for this tournament?
Yes, we did.
Oh.
So there are four of us. There were four tournaments. The four winners were assigned randomly the four losingest losers treaties.
That is a cool idea.
Yeah.
I like that.
So the four treaties that are out there are Bajoran Klingon, Romulan Klingon, TOS Fed Klingon, and Starfleet Klingon. So what have we learned?
That's a lot of Klingons.
Klingons are horrible, apparently, at treaty decks.
Well, yeah, they don't work well with others. That totally makes sense.
Yeah. So after a few weeks or a few games, I'll be able to talk about how this went, but it's been entertaining, so I'm looking forward to trying to meet up with these guys and play online. Joined up another tournament online as well?
I did. I signed up for the league event that's a straight up 1E OTF. I was looking forward to playing. I had a particular deck, which I'm not going to describe as of yet, that I had selected to play in our 1E Nationals, a month or two ago. Mm-hmm. And then we shifted to the draft.
That's
so
right.
I did not need to play that. And then I was like, well, I've kind of picked this deck apart and been trying to learn how to play it. Then I was going to go to the player who designed it, who I based mine version of their deck on and ask them about it, and then it turns out they are playing in this tournament. So I don't want to do that and then give it away.
Sure.
There are enough players, I'm not going to narrow it down, but there are enough players in this tournament that I feel like I can say that much and not, you know, you can go through all the people. There's plenty of people in this tournament who have lots of decks. You can try to pick one I might have stolen from them, but it's going to be entertaining. And once I, you know, if I get to playing them, I look forward to picking their brain about the deck and seeing how it goes.
How should I have done this? What should I be playing?
Yes. Was I doing this right? Should I be doing this differently now that you've already beaten me with your own deck? Can you tell me how I should do this against other people? So it's entertaining, and it looks like a really fun deck. I had fun fiddling with it this morning, and this was the tail end of the first week, and today is the beginning of the next week, but Lackey was down yesterday, which disrupted things. So I'm playing the beginning of round two tomorrow. I'm looking forward to keep on keeping on.
All right. If nothing else, we're building up the number of different people we play for that random achievement thing, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Does online count as a different region?
It does.
Awesome. All right.
It's the neutral zone, right?
Perfect. Charlie has been MIA from the chat. So he has not approved anything to be spoiled. So we will not be spoiling anything. However, the set's going to be out on Friday. Rachel Garrett and the Enterprise C was released over the weekend. I gotta say, I think I'm the only one I've ever seen play with the old Enterprise C. Have you ever ran it at all?
Yeah, for bonus points.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not recently, but I used to, you know, put it in decks a few times. You know, it's got the same Enterprise theme as, you know, as many of them, to score extra points at a mission. So if you're doing a Klingon mission, it's nice. And it's pretty cheap and is still a decent ship, which is nice. And it's got a cheap matching commander, so it's a good deck for, it was a mainstay a lot of my random, you know, deploy the fleet decks, you know. I had that weird recurring deck that was, you know, as many matching commanders as I could get, and recurring trying to deploy the fleet for points and then lose points to gain points, and that was one of the cheapest ship commander combos that I could find. So it was in that.
Well, roundabout way of saying, I like the old one. I don't know. It's going to take some time to get to jump into the new one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I suppose playing to your mission is a significant advantage, but if you are at a faraway space mission, but with the, I mean, if you have a ferry ship and or a range booster like that dude that already boosts it, that's going to be in the new set.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'd rather use the old one and get the 5 points.
I don't think the range booster dude's going to work on the old one, because the old one has the Earth icon and the TNG icon, right?
Does it say? Is it TNG past?
I believe so.
I'd have to look it up.
I'm looking at it. Anyway, it's too bad we didn't have John on when these cards were spoiled.
Yeah.
Because he talked a lot about the Enterprise C group, so they're apparently not a team in the classic sense. They're just guys that work well with each other. So I don't know. I never really had luck with the battleship crew. I played them a few times. It'll be interesting to see if these guys add enough oomph to make them, you know, get them over the hump.
Yeah, I agree. They always seem like they should do really well, and they don't.
Yeah. Well, I guess they're a little pricey, and you can't use Energize with them. I mean, you can use,
Disadvantage to advantage, yeah.
Well, there is a new card that just popped up on the site since it's 9 o'clock on the West Coast. Boon of the Celestial Temple.
Boon!
Yes. Not in the face, not in the face. Here's your anti-Dukat card, right?
Is it? I'm loading it. Oh, I like the art.
Yeah. It's like, wow. You know, if they were picking foils for the set, this would be one.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. I think that is what's happening here. This is the Coast Emojin getting kicked out.
Mm-hmm. Cards an opponent owns cannot remove personnel in your discard pile from the game. I mean, you got to be playing Bajor or nothing else, but, you know, that's their thing, so there you go.
Well, that's better than it was, yeah. I still don't feel like I should have to play a card like this to protect myself against a cheesy card like Dukat, but it's certainly something better than nothing.
All right. one more for...
Jenny and the Wimp.
Yeah, man, that would... I'm still looking at the picture. That would make an awesome foil.
That's a really, really cool picture.
All right. You know, I wonder if we could still... we could do that as... part of the release kit. You know, you got your release foil that's an AI of something. Could do, you know, like in the big 100 card sets, they picked out like 9 to make foils. Or no, they picked out 18, didn't they? 18 to make foils of. You know, smaller set, maybe a third of the size, maybe pick 6. You pick 6 cards, you foil them, you put those in the release kit. That'd be kind of cool. That would be a ridiculous hard thing for everyone to chase down, though, since everyone only gets one area, but
yeah, that'd be a lot of work too.
Maybe just pick two, make 4 copies of each one. Alright, well, I'm making more work for myself, so never mind. Very good. Alright, if you are expecting a release kit, you should expect it to be on its way shortly. We had a little delay getting the cards cut up, but since I was not at the tournament, I spent all day making promos, so, you know. Very good, that was productive.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. I looked at the tournament results and it was like, oh, there was only 6 people, so that was awesome. I didn't show up. I would have made a buy. I wouldn't have played anyway. And Charlie says,
Charlie sent out.
He sent out. We would have had 8, which would have been awesome, but whatever. All right. Anything else we need to discuss this evening? Oh, you know what? I think there is, because there is something we can spoil, right? Huh?
Is there? Sure, I could spoil something.
Yeah.
It is February, so we should be having... actually, probably should have had new achievements already. But we are taking our time, which is to say I fell behind in design. But we're also undertaking a Herculean task, I would almost say, of revamping the organization of the current achievements page. And Melis has set up a really cool new structure, and we've been working on... I've been going through and finding places to put things in proper categories. So for those of you who play things like World of Warcraft or other games that have achievements... multiple achievements associated with them, you'll know that their achievement pages are a lot more... you know, if I had thought about this, I would have had my my screen ready, and I could have switched over to World of Warcraft and shown you this. But...
So, it's a little bit more easier to navigate, perhaps?
Yeah, it's a lot easier to navigate. You can go and... the things are sorted, going to be a lot easier to see there. You can sort by, it defaults to all games and to deck design and all achievements, but you can do multiple sorting by the game type, first edition, second edition.
Because this is what mine looks like, and it's a lot of things that I don't want to see.
Yeah, and if you have to scroll through and see lots and lots of things.
Yeah.
So how do I do that? How do I show my screen? I can hit the screen.
Yeah. There's a little screen share button, and then you can just choose one of your screens. Make sure you don't have anything open that you don't want to share.
Yeah, I just blanked it out.
All right.
How's that? Can you see that?
Here, let me.
So this is a.
Go ahead.
This is there's the preliminary. It's still in the works, but you can see you can still pick which badge you want, and you'll start with these categories to choose which games you want to filter by and which categories. You can see the same categories we had: deck design, organized play, and PvP. We've added a couple of new categories to that level. You can filter only the new achievements, which will be so you can more easily see what's just come out and what's new to earn. And you can see what you have recently earned. So if you're not sure if you got anything recently or if you got something that you should have gotten, you can pop in here instead of having to go directly to it. And likewise, you can filter by all of the achievements, or you can filter out the ones that you already have, or just see the ones that you need. So if you're trying to build a deck and you want to know achievements that you have yet to earn, you can do that. So I'll go ahead and pop in to deck design, and you can see it starts off, that was OP. We've got the generic area for the deck builder, and then as it loads, affiliation, dilemmas, all of these are collapsed. So if I open up, click on dilemmas, now you can see, okay, expansion, rarity, restriction.
Very nice.
And you can see which ones I have and which ones I don't. Neat. The affiliations area is especially cleaned up. You can see all of the collections ones are at the top, and then all the individual achievements.
All the trees.
Affiliations. No, the treaty, so we have, this is affiliation.
Okay.
You would want multi-affiliation with treaties, and you can see we have the 2E collections and then the 1E treaties.
Cool.
Which would pop out. So this should make it a lot easier to kind of go through, and you know, you don't have to keep scrolling and loading new tabs. It should also remember where you are. So if you click off to an achievement and look at the achievement specifically, and then you come back, it should remember where you were.
Right.
It just takes a moment to load.
Cool.
That's a little preview of a lot of the work. That's why achievements have been one of the reasons achievements have been taking a while to come out. But hopefully, we are aiming for the same day as legality for a matter of time, which will be Friday, March 1st.
Are we going to be getting anything new, or just the rollout of the new organization?
There will be a new set of achievements as well. And what we put together, Project Jeff has been winging it, trying to, we've done a little bit of reorganization. You will see a more diverse qualifications for the ratings achievements. That's something that we've been working on. There will be a little bit of everything. As before, there's not a big major theme this time, but there is a lot of new design achievements and a few triple achievements and a few OP achievements.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. We'll have to rebuild the triples decks for that Friday. Awesome. All right. Very good. Are we wrapped then?
So I think that's about it. Yeah, I think that's all the intelligence we have this week. We will, of course, thank Warp 11 because they're awesome and they let us use their theme song, at least on the audio version. We can try to get it in the video version at some point.
Okay, here's the plea for the day, all right? I've uploaded our theme song, our intro theme song, as a YouTube video, so I should be able to play it in the show, but I can't find it. I can't find this show. I can't find anything I've uploaded. I can't find anything. So if you have any suggestions on how we could play our theme song during a Hangout, that would be awesome. So send that along to section31@danhammond.com. Thanks. Continue.
All right. In the meantime, I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
And I will draw to end.
You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. But they are